Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Thank you, Watoto family, for joining us for our celebration service today. Wow, we do miss you, and I'm looking forward to that day when we begin our in-person gatherings, and I pray it's going to be sometime very soon. Now, we have just gone through an election of new leaders as a country. You see, elections highlight the fact that we are not where we need to be, and so we elect new leaders so they can lead us into our preferred future. Now that the elections are over, it's time for all of us to unite so we can bring healing to our wonderful nation, Uganda. And as Watoto family, we believe that God has called us to participate in the building of our nation. In fact, our vision says we are an English-speaking, self-based community church, celebrating Christ, growing and multiplying as each one reaches one with the love of Jesus, bringing healing to our cities and our nation. You see, God wants us to take the character of Christ to every sphere of influence as we become the light of Jesus Christ.
30 years ago, I was one of the first original 30 members of the church. And of course, much later, the church grew beyond bounds. It spread to other cities. Even the one church that they started downtown became too big that they had to distribute it into districts. I'm a judge now at the International Court of Justice. What this court is, it's the judicial arm of the United Nations. We deal with disputes between states. So it's government to government. But I also happen to be the first African woman judge on the court. And the fact that I am one of the Watoto members, if you like, I think is something to be proud of, absolutely. And I feel that I have an opportunity now to practice the values that I've learned throughout my Christian walk in Watoto, to practice them at this level, to practice justice at the world level. I mean, how awesome is that? A lot of our generation of Watoto worshippers have moved on into government, have moved on into leadership, and are in influential positions to influence the course of things in the country and in the world at large. I mean, here I am in The Hague. And it is those values that we picked up in Watoto that we're riding on now. And I mean, God help us if we don't live according to the values that Gary and Marilyn worked so hard to inculcate in us.
Today, I want to talk about how we can arise and shine in our country so we can see healing come to this wonderful and beautiful country. Our theme this year is Arise and Shine. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. And this is what the Bible says. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen or rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. In this verse, God was speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the nation of Israel about their bright future, to encourage them in their state of depression or hopelessness to arise even as they were inheriting the future that God has for them. And the same is true for all of us in this nation or wherever you find yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ. God wants us to arise and shine so we can inherit the bright future that he has for us. Now, why arise and shine? The answer is in verse 2, and it says, see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. You see, when you turn on the television and watch the news, look around your community, all you see is darkness in form of evil deeds like corruption, greed, murder, violence, and many other things. And it can make all of us feel hopeless and get discouraged because it looks like our world is getting darker and darker. You see, friends, our world is getting darker because we live in a fallen world where man has rejected God and his ways. We have taken God out of the core of our lives and our society. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 describes people who give up on God. He says this in verse 29. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, greed, evil, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. You see, we live in a day where governments all around the world are legalizing sin. We are seeing this scripture being fulfilled in our day. Darkness is all around us. And so what does God do to people who reject him and his ways? His word again tells us that God gives us over to our ways. Verse 28, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. Three times in chapter 1 of Romans, Paul says that God gives people over to their sins when we reject him and his ways. And when God gives us over to our sins, we reap the consequences of our sins. You see, friends, our problems at the core are sin problems. They all come from our darkened and God-hating hearts. However, God has not abandoned us. God loves us so much, and he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who came into our world as the light of the world. In fact, Jesus himself called himself the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12. And this is what he says. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here Jesus was speaking to his disciples and many religious leaders who were opposing him, and he told them, the reason you are walking in darkness is because you have rejected God. But I have come as the light of the world, and if you place your faith in me, I'm going to address your core problem of sin in your heart, and you become the light of the world. You see, friends, when we acknowledge that we are sinners, and we come before God in repentance, and we receive the mercy of God, he gives us forgiveness, and then we become the light of the world. Not only is Jesus the light of the world, he calls his followers the light of the world. When Jesus was teaching his disciples, he told them they were the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, he said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus in this verse declared to his followers and to you and I that you and I are the light of the world. And then he compares his followers to something. He says that we are like a city or a town that is built on a hill and cannot be hidden. In other words, as the light of the world, we cannot be hidden, just like a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And then verse 15, he goes on to say, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl or a basket. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in these two verses, we see Jesus comparing his children, his followers, his disciples to two things. He says that his followers, Christians, are the light of the world, and they are like a city on a hill. In other words, Christians must be visible every day. And the second thing, he says that we are like a lamp on its lampstand. And the purpose of the lamp is to light, to provide light in the darkness, so people don't stumble in darkness. So we are the light of the world. We need to be visible, but also we need to make sure we are shining our light so people don't stumble in darkness. Wow. My friend, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he says, you are the light of the world. In this darkness that covers the earth, the darkness that covers our communities, our nation, you have a big part to play as the light of the world. And then he goes on verse 16. He says, in the same way, just like lamps provide light in darkness and help people not to stumble in darkness, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In the same way, just like the light provides light when it's dark, followers of Jesus, Christians, need to shine their light before all people, believers or non-believers, all people. And when they see our good deeds, deeds that have been motivated by Jesus Christ in us, they are going to glorify our Father in heaven. So Jesus says two things in these three verses. He tells us of our identity, that we are the light of the world. And then he gives us a command or our purpose. Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good deeds. And the result is they will glorify our Father in heaven. Wow! Wouldn't it be an amazing thing for Uganda to see the good deeds of his children and glorify our Father in heaven? This is our call as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for the next couple of minutes, I just want to spend some time to see how we can practically shine our light even as we arise and shine in our country so we can see healing come to our cities and our nation. The first thing, I believe, is the most important thing, because our problems at the core are sin problems. The first thing that we must do as followers of Jesus Christ, the first thing that we must do as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this one thing that really was at the heart of the preaching of Paul, the Apostle Paul, is we must preach the gospel. Because the gospel shines the light of God in our sin and darkened hearts. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Jesus gives us our mission as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this is the mission of the church all across the world. We must be preachers of the gospel first and foremost, because our core problem is not bad politics or bad leadership. Yes, we have bad leadership. Our problem is not poor education. Our core problem is not poor education. Yes, we need better education. Our core problem is not corruption and greed. Yes, we need to overcome corruption and greed. Our core problem is not out there. Our core problem is on the inside here. And this problem exists in every individual, every person, all across the world. Young, old, black, white, rich, poor. God's word reminds us that we have sinned. We have rejected the ways of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the only thing that can heal sinful hearts is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because at the heart of the human problem is a problem of the human heart, and that is sin. Sin can only be overcome by the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. John 3:16, that verse that we all love. For God so loved sinners like you and I, that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, So that whoever, whosoever, young, old, no matter what you've done, believes in that Jesus Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel, that God loves sinners. But then he sent his son who paid the penalty for our sins so that by placing our trust and our faith and our confidence in Jesus Christ, God shines his light in our hearts and then we become the light of the world. We are forgiven, we become children of God, and then we begin to do the works motivated by Jesus Christ. You see, Peter also highlights the same thing. He says this in Acts 4, 12. Salvation is found in no one else. Yeah. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the hope of our world through his church. And so, friends, we must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must be like Paul in Romans 1, verse 16, who said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord, for the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord. I'm not a motivation speaker. I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord, and I'm preaching this gospel to you, letting you know that repent and turn to God, and then we shall see the light of God shine in our lives, but also in our communities. So we must preach the gospel. Because our core problem as individuals, as human beings, is sin. And our core need is forgiveness through the one and only Jesus Christ. So this year, friends, let's arise and shine and preach that gospel that changes all our hearts and then makes us children of the Most High God. And he gives us a new mission and a reason to live our lives here on earth as the light of the world. That's the first thing we must do, to shine the light of God. The second thing that we need to do is we must live as the light. We must live as the light. Not only does Jesus come into our hearts and forgive our sins, we must live as the light. We must live lives that are worthy of the gospel of the Lord. We must be people who have the character of Christ, and we take this character through every sphere of influence. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and will glorify your Father in heaven. Yes, we are not saved by works, but we are saved for works. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians, in the Message translation, highlights this again in chapter 1. He says this, the church is Christ's body through which he speaks, acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. We are his body through which God speaks to the world. We are his body through which he speaks and acts, by which he fills every place. Wow, what a powerful purpose that we live for as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the church is essential for the well-being of any community and nation. I know I've heard people say that the church is non-essential. Let me tell you, they are deceived. The church is essential. Take the church out of this world, and this world is going to be lost in darkness. In his book, The Rise of Christianity, Rodney Stark, a social scientist, was not even a Christian, was fascinated about the fact that 300 years after a rise of a cult, he meant Christianity, in Judea, whose leader had been executed by crucifixion, Christianity literally overtook the Roman Empire. In 300 years, Christianity was the most dominant religion in the Roman Empire. And so he began to ask questions. Why did this happen? Now, it wasn't because of the great preaching. It wasn't because the church was so big and had big offerings. There were mega churches. No. It wasn't because Christianity was popular. In fact, being a Christian in the Roman Empire was equal to death, because there was only one Lord according to Rome. That was Caesar. And Christians believed there is only one Lord, and that is Jesus Christ. And when Christians refused to recant the name of Jesus Christ, they would be crucified. They will be torched. Christians were the most persecuted people in the Roman Empire. But yet again, Christianity rose. Why? Rodney Stark came to some conclusions, and here are some of them. He said this: at a time of high immorality, the Christians lived a high standard of morality, but without judgment. At a time of high infanticide, when Romans were killing their babies, Christians collected these babies and raised them as their own. At a time when women were considered just as property with no rights, Christianity ennobled and dignified womanhood. At a time of a high plague, when everyone ran from the cities to get away from the disease, Christians stayed behind to look after the sick, and some of them lost their lives. What was the difference? The Christians stood out and were shining lights in their dark world. And that is what God is calling us to in our time today. If we want to see healing come to our cities and our nations, as Christians, we must influence the leadership culture of our day by modeling servant leadership. We must influence the business culture that is corrupt by serving people. We must model Christ-likeness in our families, where husbands love their wives, wives submit their husbands, children obey and honor their parents. We must have a great work ethic. We must be people who are honorable. We must confront lawlessness by becoming moral, law-abiding citizens. We must live by biblical values. Now, that is guaranteed that everything is going to end well when we stand out as the light of the world? No. Jesus actually warned his disciples. He said that you are going to be persecuted because of me, because you're not greater than the master. And he gives a blessing for such people who are persecuted for living out for Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5, 11 to 12, he says, blessed are you when you are, when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, when you stand up and begin to shine as the light of God, things may not go well by the standards of the world, but God is cheering you on and saying, well done, good and faithful servant. So friends, let us arise and shine and take the character of Christ in every sphere of influence. That is how we are going to overcome the darkness that is all around us. And then thirdly and lastly, if we are going to arise and shine as a beautiful nation, we must be submitted to God's ways. You see, our motto as Uganda is for God and my country. You see, our fathers in the past knew well that if we submitted to the ways of God, we were going to build a great nation. Psalm 33, verse 12, the first part says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is any nation whose God is the Lord. And I've had this statement said by our founder, Pastor Gary. He said this: the character of the God of the people becomes the character of the people. The character of the God of the Bible becomes the character of the Christians. So whoever is the God of any nation determines the character of any nation. So if we want this country, this nation, to prosper, we must submit ourselves to God's ways and God's word. You see, God is just. God is righteous. He is faithful. He is reliable. He is love. He is patient. He is generous. And God wants us to live by those same values. When we do that, darkness has to flee, because Jesus, through you, has entered in, like we sing here at Watoto Church. And so for the leaders, whether you are a leader at a family level, work level, wherever you are, I want to give you a practical insight from Jesus' kind of leadership right now. I want you to lead like Jesus led. You see, I want you to leverage your power for the people that you are leading. That is the kind of leadership that is going to make our country a great country, that is going to make your company, your family, a great family. Lead on behalf of those who cannot lead themselves. Be a voice for the voiceless. This is how Jesus led. Jesus leveraged his power for the people that he came to lead. Jesus did not use his power for himself. In John chapter 13, there is a visual illustration that I want to leave with you today. In John chapter 13, Jesus was having dinner with his friends. And then after dinner, he did something that was so powerful. Now, remember, Jesus was the VIP. He was the most important person in that room. He had raised the dead, healed the sick, fed the hungry. This was God in human flesh. He was the most important person. But after dinner, he did the unthinkable. He went, got a towel and water, and he washed his disciples' feet. And this was unthinkable for the disciples. Peter even tried to stop him from doing that. But Jesus was teaching them a lesson. And this is the lesson that Jesus was teaching these disciples that was raising to become the leaders of the new movement called the church. He was teaching them this, that leadership is about service, not status. I'm going to say that again. Leadership is about service, not status. In a world where people are attracted to leadership for its perks, privileges, and power, a world where many people go into politics as a get-rich-quick scheme, we need to lead like Jesus. Leaders exist for the followers. I'm reminded of a former member of parliament in Uganda who really, I don't think he's a leader, because he campaigned on this slogan, "Let me also go into leadership to get rich." That is my translation in the way he said it in Luganda. I'm glad when he tried the second time this year, he was voted out. We need leaders who exist for their followers. You see, leadership is about service, not status. If you lead this way, not only are you going to leave a great legacy, you are going to contribute to building a great nation. We need to lead like Jesus led. So what have I said so far? I've said that if we're going to overcome the darkness that is all around us as a nation, as a community, but also as the world, we, people who are called by the name of Jesus, we must arise and shine a light. By confronting the dark culture all around us with the character of Christ, we need to submit to the ways of God as a nation. Leaders lead like Jesus led. He was a servant leader. He led because of the people who were following him. And then finally, the most important point is this. We must preach the gospel, because our core problems are caused by our core problem, and it's called the sin problem. And this is why Jesus came. Jesus came so that he can forgive your sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came and he paid the penalty for your sin. And so my brother, my sister, wherever you are, you know you are a sinner. You are not submitted to God's ways. You know that your heart is not right with God. Today, I want to invite you to God, because Jesus has already paid the penalty for your sin. All you need to do is to trust him today as your Lord and Savior. You will be forgiven. He's going to shine his light in your life, and then he's going to give you a mandate and a purpose to shine as the light of God. Would you receive Jesus today? I want to pray for you. Please repeat this prayer after me from your heart. Say, "Jesus, thank you so much for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. Today, I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer, you are a child of God. The light has come into your life, and God right now calls you his child.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.